flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcon fans going crazy saying, we got to get in on this Myles Garrett deal, man. How do we make this work? It's Dukes and Bell. Garrett, by the way, requests the Browns trade him to a contender. Hmm. We're going to talk more about that.
Asked the question, but are we a contender?
Well, that's the question. I mean, like, look, I think we're on the come. I think when you say, if I'm in his position or any free agent for that matter, and I want to come, you know, the Falcons are courting me, Mike, I'm going to say you guys are 6-3. You guys were really good last year up until you weren't. Kind of explain what happened.
Right.
Behind closed doors, I wonder what's said. Behind closed doors, what is said if a prime free agent or somebody that you might want to trade for says, look, I'm interested. I see what you guys are trying to do there, but explain to me what went down and why that thing went south, because that's where I'm at now. I'm Myles Garrett, this is what he's doing every year in Cleveland.
Now, again, the quarterback conundrum for the Raiders is real because of where they're picking. Maybe, who knows, things. Maybe they try to get their quarterback. Maybe they do a gap year. One thing, I was just looking at the salary cap, just real quick. The Raiders are the second youngest team in the league, and the youngest team right now, average age 25 and a .5, is the Packers. And remember that after the postseason loss, the comments came out, they want a little more leadership from Jordan Love. Okay, because remember, he's not a rookie.
Right.
Even though he's a rookie, only 2 years starting, but he was around the league, you know, watching before Aaron Rodgers left. So they're asking for a little more from him, but that's a young team with a lot of studs on it. Tampa Bay is one of the top 5 youngest teams, the Chargers. So, I mean, if you're the Raiders, you're the second youngest squad, you get it right, you hit on a few things, all of a sudden you're right back in the game. You brought in Pete Carroll for stability, they hired Chip Kelly. I mean, huge money, $6 million to be the OC. And a lot of folks are saying, is there a clause in there? Is coach in waiting? Remember, Chip Kelly was the Eagles coach years ago.
Right, that's right, Mike. And it didn't work. As a matter of fact, Howie Rosen fired him and moved on, and ultimately they won a Super Bowl. Either way, there's a lot at stake or a lot at play here when you talk about Myles Garrett, and we're going to continue to talk about it because we should. Look, we can dream, as one listener said. Dukes of Bell, can we dream? Yes, we can. We should be in the mix for something like this. The problem is, put all these eggs in a basket that we didn't know was going to turn out this way. And now that will affect these kinds of things. So you get all excited until you realize, oh, damn, that's what you guys were saying about how this will affect the spending moving forward.
Guys, Kirk Cousins says where his agent tells you where he's going. If he's got to sign off on it. And nobody is going to give – no one's going to say, here's $40 million. No, that's – guys, no one's going to take on that contract. They're going to let you eat it, you know. And basically, you're stuck because it's guaranteed, just the way the Russell Wilson thing played out and how the Steelers got him for a steal. By the way, Falcons are the second oldest team in the NFL. Average age, it's only 27.4. You and I should be so young. But by NFL standards, only the 49ers are an older squad.
Right? Yeah, you got to get a little bit younger. And again, Penix and Bijan and all these guys, those guys are helping. That movement, that youth movement. All right, real quick, I want you to hear Charles Barkley and what he said about this Luka and AD trade. And I think this is important because this is the part where everybody says, oh, they're silly to trade a guy like Luka. Charles Barkley said, don't think that. The Mavs probably know something we don't.
Let me tell you something. The only people know Luka Doncic is the Dallas Mavericks. Guys who've been with him for years or who are around him every day. He's a great player. He's a great player. But all us talking heads, they must know something we don't know. Because, listen, he's been hurt. Everybody complains about his conditioning. But once you give a guy 5 years, $350 million, y'all are stuck together for life.
Mm. And that's the decision they had to really. And by the way, I give them a lot of credit, Mike. They had the balls to do this. Most teams would not have done this. Most teams would have said, you know what? We'll stay the course. He'll find a way. We'll keep pushing him. Stop living in fantasy land. Like, that's what I love about this deal. Mm. Listen, Nico Harrison may be an idiot when it's all said and done. And maybe the Mavs never win a championship. But to say we're going to commit that kind of money to somebody that this is your job. You got one job. You know what their job is? Be in shape. That's your job. And he couldn't even do that? I couldn't have committed that kind of money either.
Yeah. Now, it's funny. If you'd read a lot of folks, if you didn't see the press conference yesterday or his comments along with his head coach, with Jason Kidd, it's kind of like, you know, he had some George Costanza moments at Nike. He's not like one of these smooth, like, sneaker pimps who came up and was like the fixer and the facilitator. The famous story, Chris, have you heard this one, our producer? That back in the day, he apparently botched the presentation of Steph Curry. He apparently called him Seth. And apparently the presentation that was in the computer was initially designed for Kevin Durant.
Mm.
Now, they're saying, amongst other reasons, probably more money, Curry decided to do his deal and switch from Nike and sign with Under Armour. So in this kind of... I'm sorry. That just kind of struck me as you got one chance and you screwed that up. So anyway, he stumbles forward to become eventually the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. And he did sound a bit like a knucklehead at times in the press conference, nervous energy left. Well, you know, but hey, if you can win now, but what's the window? How do you qualify this? If Luka can reinvent himself, could he ever? Maybe he could never do that in Dallas. If you could make a run or be competitive with Anthony Davis, with Kyrie in a shorter window, then maybe you can grab a championship.
Well, look, here's the other part of this too, for all the Trey haters out there. Even if the Lakers win a chip this year, it's not about Luka.
It's about Bron.
It's about Bron. Even if he wins it this year, you can't call this show and be like, oh, my God, he won the chip. It's about LeBron. He just went and played with LeBron. Trey's not going to play with LeBron. He's never played with anybody like that.
Right.
So this idea, like, LeBron is 40 and he's still playing at an incredible high level, that all of a sudden, Mike, you know what has to happen? LeBron eventually retires. Maybe they win one or they don't. And Luka and whatever team they surround him with in L.A., he's got to lead the way to win one to get the credit that he deserves to be this generational talent. Right now, you know what this is? It's a bus rider.
Right.
He's not driving it. He's going there, and he is going to fall in place and do what he needs to do to help LeBron. That is the difference between, like, him being in Dallas and being the bus driver versus being the rider. All right, here's Charles Barkley, one other thing, and then we're going to get to a fourth and one. Talking about the Mavs, what are they in the West right now? Are they the second, third, fourth best team?
OKC, they're my favorite to win this thing. But, man, the Dallas Mavericks – they might have just became the second best team in the Western Conference because the jury is still out. I think Denver needs to make a trade because they need to get some bench help. The Rockets are so young. I'm not going to take the Rockets beating the Mavs in a 7-game series.
Me neither. And by the way, across the board in almost every major statistical category, just so you guys know, OKC leads it. Steals, turnovers, turnover, points off a turnover. They are like the number one team, Mike, defensively, which is why they're doing what they're doing this year. That's why Charles is talking about the Mavs now having that defensive help with AD. We'll see, but I think it's a good deal for the Mavs right now.
I think the winner, though, short term, I mean, as we said, Mavs, as Carl just pointed out, what they can do. But if Luka can get into where he needs to be, right, because as we said, he's got the talent, Carl. Then the winner in the seal is Rob Pelinka, because you said earlier what you had to give to get it is an advantage, Lakers.
No doubt. Point differential in the NBA, plus 12, that's OKC. Everybody else is, you got the Cavs, and it's no secret, guys. You think the Cavs are just blowing everybody out by chance? Great defensive team. Thunder, great defensive team. Celtics, shoot a lot of threes, play D. Mike, that's where it's at. We'll see what happens. Let's get to fourth and one. All right, so Mike and I were talking about this, and look, we don't know all the particulars, But this story that is out now in regards to the New Orleans Saints, it just doesn't look good, Mike. And for those of you who are wondering, or maybe you haven't seen what's happening, emails that detailed the Saints' assistants, that is, in their front office, mm-hmm. all right, in a cover-up of the Archdiocese in a sexual abuse scandal there.
In New Orleans.
Yes, is part of this bigger story. But now, Mike, you have Saints executives who apparently were aware or knew about this, and AB has done a big story on it. Again, we're not going to get deep because there's so much here, but all I can say is, boy, the NFL has to be going, are you serious?
In a nutshell, a lot of this, from what I've read in the New Orleans Advocate, comes from the widow of Tom Benson. You know, remember the battle for control of the team with the surviving kids and his widow. But basically, giving the Catholic Church in New Orleans from funds from the Pelicans, because they own the Pelicans and the Saints, money to spend on PR, to spin it, and then help with legal advice because of the scandal. A lot of folks are going, this is horrible. It's reprehensible. How could you be involved in this? The connection is strong with apparently members of the Benson family with the church in New Orleans, and they figured they could do a solid for them and help them out in this situation, which, of course, now blows back and is terrible, and you wonder how the NFL is going to feel about this.
The team president allegedly drafted more than a dozen questions for the Archbishop. Should they prepare? Should he be facing questions? Mike, they were aiding this process.
They're prepping him they were prepping him, trying to help him in the PR battle over something that you can't defend. You know, and like, don't get me, that's one of my pet peeves. Don't get me started on that. But I mean, that's the road that they chose to go down. I mean, you've seen the Spotlight movie about what happened in Boston. So it's a smaller story, but the lives were ruined down in New Orleans, and they're trying to play cover your butt with the Catholic diocese down in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's a bad look. That's all I can say. I don't know how much is true and is not. But the Saints last week told AP, because they knew the story was coming out, that partnership is a thing of the past. It doesn't matter. It still happened. Hey, Chip Kelly to become the Raiders OC, Mike. Is it going to work?
Well, he's certainly getting paid big bucks. We mentioned he was the Eagles coach. Now, some would say the problem in Philadelphia, he tried to bring in the conditioning. Remember, he was always about, 40 minutes of hell. That's Nolan Richardson. But the idea was you had to be in really great shape to play his up-tempo offense that he brought from the college game. So he was really good at Oregon. You forget how good he was there. And then UCLA, I mean, I don't know what your expectations are for them, but I think he's in his sweet spot. And oh, by the way, we'll talk more about this in the 4 o'clock, but Ohio State loses their OC and their DC off their national championship team, but he's going to get paid $6 million, and some folks feel, will there be, I don't know, some kind of relationship that they do know that Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly, everyone hates Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the common ground. That sounds like, an oversimplification. But you think Chip Kelly could be a coach in waiting again?
Look,
in the NFL, if that was a thing?
I actually think this is a smart move for him. Like, you go to Ohio State, you do what everybody said. He's better win a chip. He did. Why am I staying to deal with all of that again when I can go back to the NFL and make this kind of money, Mike? And to your point, at 61, not 72, set himself up to be a head coach again. So last season, OC, quarterbacks coach, and they win the chip. They average, 35, 36 points a game? Listen, the NFL's not college. We know that. Chip Kelly's been there, but I think this is a good move for him, and I also like the move for Pete Carroll to hire him out there because he knows, Mike, you can hand this thing over. You don't have to worry about the offense. We say it all like that. He's got experience. I don't have to worry about what's going to be going on over there. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. This hour, again, brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors as we go around the NFL. The big news today is Myles Garrett wanting out of Cleveland, or at least that is what he's saying. Wanting out, Mike, and them allowing you out is two different things. Andrew Berry's the general manager there. Last week, just to give you some clarity, he was asked about what it would take to trade for Myles Garrett. Andrew Berry said, if someone says to me at dinner, hey, I'll give you two first-round picks, can I get Myles Garrett? The answer is no. That was him last week. So now that his star wants out, because that was not a part of that question, that was one of those hypotheticals. Hey, are you fielding questions about him? That was at the Senior Bowl, by the way.
Right. You can put that on record.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, he's requested a trade. At some point, you guys know, holdouts don't really work anymore in the NFL. But look, guys want to be there. They're going to try to get the best value for him. And then there's a bunch of teams. He's in his prime. We said he's 29 years of age. Guy's already got 102 and a half sacks. I mean, and have you ever seen Myles Garrett in person?
Monster.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So we've never had a guy like that here. Never. I mean, we've had guys like Claude Humphreys. So I was too young. I missed that one. But it would be transformative. The question that Carl brings up, when you get into these big debates about what Falcons should be doing, are we just one player away? You know, all the needs we've got on the defensive side. Or do you say he's that force multiplier, makes everybody better?
No, he does. I do agree with that. But again, you've got guys that you're going to have to look at and pay moving forward. I know we're not talking about this.
No.
But the Drakes of the world, okay? The Bijans, all this stuff. We're a few years away, and Mike, you're about to give a guy $100 million at that age. Mm-hmm. Like, you better be there. And I don't know if we necessarily are. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. Big show today here. Coming up, Connor Riley, by the way, in the 4 o'clock hour, is set to join us. We will talk more college football. But when we come back, was LeBron upset at AD? Wait till you hear this next. We got all week to talk about the big game, and we will. In New Orleans, security's going to be tight. Going down there, had a couple of buddies hit me up, and they were talking about the difference. Listen, New Orleans has always done a really good job of putting this game on, Mike, but after the New Year's Eve situation,
right,
they're not taking any chances, nor should they. And they know they got people coming from all over the world, so security is going to be tight, but it's going to be a good time, and hopefully we get a great game, man. We're going to talk plenty about it throughout the course of the week, chasing a bunch of guests down as well, so make sure you're here every day starting at 2 o'clock. We have been talking about this big trade in the NBA, and by the way, nothing's going to top this. You just had two all-first-team, all-NBA guys traded for each other. One is an all-NBA defensive player as well in AD, but you're not going to top this, Mike. I mean, like, the De'Aaron Fox thing was cool. He's going to Spurs, you know, again, Zach LaVine, you know, he's involved in it. It's not this. And no matter what happens between now and Friday, you know, I just feel like this is the one that everybody's going to be wondering because, again, it's still in the Western Conference. It wasn't like one of these guys went to the East and the other guy went to the West. You made this deal in the Western Conference, and a lot of people said that was a mistake also by the Mavs because ultimately does Luka come back to haunt you down the road?
Now, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out now about just how this this process played out. There are apparently conversations between Nico Harris and the Mavs, GM and Rob Pelinka with the Lakers, and a lot of the stuff that's now coming out. Again, some of these websites are kind of funny, but NBA Hype says apparently Pelinka's like, we're the only team that can give you instant impact with Anthony Davis, and you know. You just don't know where this guy's going to be physically.
It's true.
And so he just apparently just kept hammered. And a lot of folks are saying, shouldn't the Mavs have gotten more from the Lakers? You mentioned earlier some of the other pieces, you know, Dalton Connect. There's a bunch of other guys that should have been perhaps in that package. But if it's a poker game, Pelinka just, you know, kept his poker face and Nico barked. Either way, when you've got that kind of – he's one of the top five players. Top five players get the Supermax contract. But when you're that – much of a pain in the butt that apparently this guy is. That, you know, he's run off teammates, he's run off coaches. You know, that old argument about Trey versus Luka. Yes, I get it. He's gone to a round further than Trey. He also won one game in the finals and also quit and fouled out. So I get it, but I still think, you know, Trey has never, ever had the supporting cast that Luka's had in Dallas. That's not up for debate.
I don't agree. I don't disagree, Mike. And that's why I said, as people were like, we want to trade. Look, if you still want to talk about that, great. But say it louder. Because our team and our front office has not given up on our star. And by the way, he's never not been in shape. By the way, he loves to play and hates being out.
Right.
There's a fundamental difference between these two guys. And as much as Trey beasts with the refs, and I've been saying this, everybody's like, oh, he's always arguing with the refs because you guys think that's a criticism. All these guys do it.
Right. But Luka's the worst.
He's the worst. He does it to an extreme.
You said this on Friday's show about, you know, if we don't love ourselves, ain't nobody going to love us outside of Atlanta. And then these same arguments crop up on social media. You can follow us. Carlos, put them up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. I got roped into a bunch of these arguments about Luka versus Trey. Guys, if you are some old school kind of guy, you can't say that you're a Luka guy because Luka goes against everything you're talking about and preaching. Discipline, okay? Selfishness, he's undisciplined, he's selfish, and he can't stay in shape. And he's got the talent. Again, we said earlier the phrase, the God-given talent. The guy can sleepwalk and do a 25-10 night. But he's a lazy, as I said, sloth-like approach to the game. Just got him traded to L.A.
Well, and here's the other part, too. You guys do know he's like 6'8", right? He doesn't play above the rim. The reason why is his weight. Mike, when you balloon in season to 270, that's a problem. And then the team says, we got to give you some time off. Luka's ankle's bothering him, so he's going to miss the next five games.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that was happening in Dallas. And at one point, you know, the front office is like, what the hell are we paying this dude for? Right. He's the face of our franchise, and we're dealing with this in season? This isn't the offseason where he's overseas and he's stuffing his face. Right. Like, that is a fundamental discipline problem, and it also says a big blank you to your teammates because, you know, you're not out there, not because you're truly hurt. You're not out there because, well, you're clowning around, and that means, Mike, you don't take this seriously.
Right, and we've talked about this. Trey's never had, like, this is the best year DeAndre Hunter's ever had as a Hawk. To have that athletic wing with defense, he hasn't had that consistently. And by the way, it comes off the bench. It's a lot of starter. You know, we talked about Jalen Johnson. He can't stay healthy, but that's one of the best players Trey's had. He's had front courts, nothing against a Congo. But John Collins, we talked about his liabilities. John Collins, Capella. Imagine if Trey had a legitimate sort of like power forward center. You know what I mean? Think about where the numbers would be and how it would open up the perimeter game.
I sound like Landry. You're right.
I mean, their big idea was, wow, they double-teamed Trey against the Heat. We'll get another point guard. Stupid.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we wasted 2 years of Trey's greatness with that. Trey said yes, and Trey, by the way, he said all the right things. He may have lied, but because that's called leadership. Yes, sometimes you have to fib by saying, yes, I love DeJounte, it's great. Meanwhile, everyone knew it was a stupid idea. And now Trey's got a team he trusts, but now they can't stay healthy. So, look, I was on Trey's butt for 2 years. That he's changed. If Trey's changed, and I's changed, used his change. But Luke is still the same dude. Thank you.
Bill Ryder covers the NBA. Does a really good job. He's on the network that I'm on, an Infinity Sports Network. He put out some information this weekend when this went down, Mike, and LeBron responded to it, which tells you, again, sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill Ryder, I want you to hear what he said about LeBron being frustrated with AD last year, and a lot of people behind the scenes believe this is why they're saying LeBron didn't know anything, when in fact he may have been the catalyst behind all of this.
Last year, there was talk within the Lakers organization that LeBron James had grown a little frustrated with Anthony Davis. It wasn't that necessarily AD was going to be traded. We obviously didn't report that on CBS Sports. It was just, hey, this is something to keep an eye on. LeBron is frustrated with AD, and he doesn't think that it's working.
And if that's the case, then don't you say that to Rob Pelinka?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you say that to Rich Paul?
Right.
I mean, like, and that's why, you know, I heard our guy Kendrick Perkins, he didn't know nothing about this. I'm like, come on, Kendrick. It's ridiculous to think that LeBron is not in the know when everything that has happened, he's been in the know about.
Now, if you take it at face value, I mean, Pelinka might say, oh, look, I'm getting enough heat by having Bronny on this roster. I can do some things. Rob Pelinka said, I can go in the bathroom and wipe my butt without your permission, yeah. LeBron. So, I mean, you may have had to have radio silence on this. Would somebody in LeBron, I don't know, I can't speak to that, if somebody in LeBron's camp would have leaked this. But either way, they did it stealthily, and they got it done. And now the question, as you said, you know, in the long term, when LeBron eventually does step away, is Luka going to be able to be the total package of it's his team, and he really does – you know, set the tone. You set the tone by doing all those things we just talked about that he hasn't been doing consistently in Dallas, despite the fact he's a walking triple-double.
He is. Let's talk, let's hear from Nico Harrison. This is the general manager of the Mavs. Mike was alluding to this about how he said a couple of things. One, how is this beneficial in the long term?
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now. The future 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and Jay Budden, or we bury ourselves.
Yes.
So, you know, that awkward laugh.
By the way, Jason Kidd had all the warmth of a hostage video sitting next to his general manager.
What are you supposed to say? He's like, I didn't even know. I didn't have nothing to do with this. I don't want y'all mad at me. Here he is sitting next to Jay Kidd, and then right next to his head coach saying, I didn't tell him that we were doing this.
We kept it between us. We had to. We had to keep it tight. Jay Kidd didn't know about it. But Jay Kidd and I are aligned, and we talk about archetypes, and we talk about the culture that we want to create. So I know the type of players that he likes without actually talking to him. Hey, would you like, you know, so I know that. And Jay Kidd coached them when they won a championship. So I think when you're aligned with your coach like that, I know the type of players that he likes. And so I felt good about it making sense to where we're trying to go.
Well, that is not a collaboration, Mike.
No. And did Jay Kidd actually get up at part of the press conference, Oren?
No, Nico got up and left.
Yeah.
And then, just left J. Kidd kind of just hanging in the wind.
Just kind of sitting there. Yeah, I mean, we hear these buzzwords. And you know, I joke around all the time about collaborative, this and that. Look, he apparently it felt that he had to do this in a vacuum. So J. Kidd was not consulted and Luke is gone. Now, I'd love to be a fly on the wall and maybe somebody in Dallas will come, you know, that information will be forthcoming about just how toxic it's been,
yeah,
you know, with Luka there.
I'm just really curious to see, like, how motivated he is to come out and just be – look, he's averaging almost 30 a game. It's not like he's going to, you know, up that to 45.
Right.
But I just feel like, Mike, you know, if not now, when for him. Because now he's got to reestablish himself to get that Supermax deal. Hey, man, coming up, yeah, man, No Man's on the way. We'll find out what Turtle did this weekend and also what he's got for us. We're going to talk to our man Connor Riley as well at 4 o'clock as we'll talk some dogs, some college football. Apparently a few dogs had a really good week at the Senior Bowl. We'll get into that as well coming up in the 4 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. New artist of the year there?
Rap album of the year, Doechii.
Yeah. I think I told you guys, I saw her when Doja came into town, and she opened for Doja. She did a great job. Grammys were on last night. That's what we're talking about, guys. Kendrick Lamar is playing the Super Bowl. He had a big night. We'll talk more about it later on in the show. Connor Riley's on the way in about 20 minutes. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what is going on? How was your weekend?
Weekend was very, very good. I told you on one of the breaks. Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
And this will be.
Oh no!
This will be a perfect.
Is your voice okay?
No, my voice is fine.
Here's Chris.
Yeah. No, it's funny that just happened because that's actually a segue into one of my stories. But first, the girlfriend and I and some of her friends went to Andretti's.
No.
And that's always fun.
Yeah, I'd never been there before. So that was a lot of fun doing the whole thing. That place is pretty crazy.
You guys go on a Friday, Saturday night?
We went on Saturday evening.
Okay,
and it was
packed.
Yeah.
That's a blast. Yeah. I love racing those cars, man. We used to do that all the time. It's a good time.
It is. And you know, I mean, like, Mike, speaking of that, like Dave and Buster's, there's so many cool little spots like that. And, you know, you don't go all the time. But Andretti's is fun, man. I know that they don't have as many as they used to because they closed some of those locations down. Which one did you go to, Chris? Do you know?
The one, it was by Marietta.
Okay, up 75.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that one was really good.
A lot of single moms in there, too.
Are spot. There?
Yeah, man. Well, kids, bring the kids.
Oh, good call. Okay.
I wasn't looking, so.
Oh, well, yeah. But Mike's just making a point.
Helping out the dudes, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Consumer news you can use.
The place you can go.
Yeah. What's Mike's line there? They want to meet you.
That's right.
Not you.
The guy
next to you.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of voices flubbing, this is along those lines. Colin Cowherd today had a little incident on his show and went a little something like this.
Number three is the Lakers are aspirational franchise with statues everywhere in the building. And the bottom line here is I think we're going to get a more dedicated Luka. Folks, I'm going to take a break. I am getting very, very sick very, very quickly on this set, and we will return.
And they took an extended commercial break.
Wow, like food poisoning?
Came back. His co-host was in his chair and proceeded to co-host the rest of the show.
Hope you use some Lysol wipes.
Yeah, he got very physically ill on the set. Now, my question to you guys both been broadcasters for a long time. Yeah, man, no man. Anything like that ever happen to you?
It did. Happened here a few years back. We're on the air just like this. And I literally go in and say, I'm not feeling good, but, you know, I'm okay. I think you don't know until you start having to run the restroom, right? I mean, let's just keep it real. And I was like, I'm okay. And I go to the restroom, and, man, I'm dizzy. I don't feel good. And literally I had to leave. I think I did the first 2 hours. And then by the 4 o'clock hour, I was like, he's like, go home. I was not myself. It's terrible. Luckily, you know, to Colin's point, he had somebody there. And, you know, we had a great, great situation where we weren't worried. But I just, man, I had to go home. And I don't even know how I made it home that day. Like, have you been sick and dizzy and, like, upset stomach and just, like, you're driving, but you really are not paying? Like, I don't even know how I got home.
Yeah, when I listened to Colin Cowherd.
I don't even know how I got there. So, but yes, that's happened to me here, and it's happened to me. The worst was many, many years ago, I leave my job. I was doing mornings. Mm-hmm. I leave my job, and I'm in my car to go home. And I remember I called my wife, Michelle, and I said, I don't feel good. And literally, as I said that, I threw up in my car.
Ah! In the car?
In the car.
Ooh.
I'm on the highway. I'm going 70, and I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, I don't feel good. And it's over.
Oh.
The front seat. That was the worst, but I had already left. So those are the two times for me. I've been fortunate, Mike. What about you?
No, man, you know me. I'm an Iron Man. I stick with it. I just have to time it to run into the bathroom when you're feeling. Never had that happen. Did have a guy, real quick, Chris, I got time for this one. Carl's heard the story. I think Orin's heard it. I'll make it brief, Carl. Back in the old days when I was doing my first radio job, and I was going to pick up the radio station van to do a promo at one of the beach bars, and I come into the studio to get the keys, and the key was hanging on a hook. And the guy that was working like the mid-morning show on a Saturday, Kenny McGill, who talked like Chris does when his voice cracks. That's why he was only working Saturday morning. And I come in, and he's wearing, it's like a shower curtain kind of like doily thing that we had around the sink.
Mm.
If you don't have like a sink cabinet, so we like just put this thing around it so you'd have like the supplies and stuff would be underneath it. I'm like, why are you wearing a plastic doily? Well, I was doing the weather, and my stomach was messed up, and well, I kind of started to fart, and it just kept coming out. I'm like, okay. And so I have to go do some Sherlock Holmes on this. And yes, there's a trail going to back to the yes. And so I said, look, man, I'm going to do you a solid here. I'm going to lend you $30. You go down to the supermarket. You get one of those vacuum things. You know, you can steam clean everything. Yes. Steam vac thing. I go, because if the boss sees this on Monday, you're getting fired. He's like, oh, thanks, Mike. You're a lifesaver. So I go back in my car and I had like some old gym shorts. I go, and just put this on. What are you going to do? You're like a plastic. I go, whatever you got, just throw that in the dumpster behind the pizzeria. It was, and it goes back to what I told my father. I said, Dad, I'm thinking about going into radio when I was 18. And it's like, radio? You don't get into radio. Just deadbeats and dirtbags in a radio. It's not a weirdo in a radio, Carl.
No, it happens, man.
I mean let the record just go.
It happens.
Let the record skip. Finish your business, okay? No one's going to know on Saturday morning.
Nobody's knowing. Nobody's paying that much attention. I agree. To poop yourself.
I mean, it just kept coming out.
It's terrible. It really is.
Yeah, on that lovely note.
Enjoy your early lunch, your late lunch.
Enjoy the wings that we have outside from our friends at Hooters. Yeah. All right, so how do I put this politely? Maybe we were onto this all along with Luka. Let me take you back just a couple of months ago. When the Dallas Mavericks went down 3-0 mm-hmm. to the Boston Celtics.
Right.
And Brian Windhorst, after the game.
Oh, he went off.
Yeah, he opened the door and let us inside to some of what the Mavericks were thinking. Now, to be fair, at the time, none of us thought this would result in a trade. But looking back on it a few months later, this was pretty damning.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with five fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, you better bleeping challenge it, as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this what's happened in this finals as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win.
How about that?
Exposed.
Yeah.
Exposed. I mean, listen, coaches around the league know you rarely get a chance. Night to night is different. The league is night to night is different. When I get you in a 7-game series, Mike, I get to expose you. And that is what happened last year. And this was part of the he doesn't play defense. I mean, I love you guys when you talk about our guy. I love it. Like, Trey's this defensive liability. He's been a defensive liability.
But he's also not 6'8".
Correct. That's the other that you're absolutely right. And he doesn't have the body or the strength to do the things Luka can do when he wants to, Mike. And it's very rare that he does. Was that insight? I think that was a fair assessment. Many thought it was critical and unfair. I think it was a fair assessment at the time, and certainly now that this trade has happened to what was going on.
Especially the part, Carl and Mike, where he goes, they've begged and pleaded with him to stop being a doofus on the court. and he won't listen. So maybe that tells you at the time they were having internal discussions like, I know this guy has got us to the NBA Finals right now, but what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
He plays to the beat of his own drum, and he won't listen to what we're telling him to do, and he just cost us a game, and he cost himself being able to stay in a game. And here we are now down 3-0. So I thought that was very interesting. One more note on this situation. Imagine being Bob Rathbun.
I'd love it.
Yes, when Trae Young gets traded. What would you say? What would you do the next day when you came on the air? This was Mavs announcer Mark Folliwell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mark Folliwell. Devin Harris will join me in a minute. I'm sorry if I look a little haggard today, like a lot of you. I didn't sleep very well last night. We're stunned. We're shocked. We're going through it. You all know what I'm talking about. The end of one era, the beginning of another. The news came down last night in reports, officially this morning, at 10:05 Eastern, 9:05 Central Time. Luka Doncic traded to the Los Angeles Lakers.
I thought he did a pretty good job there summing up how Mavs Nation feels.
They got beat down, too, in that game.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of beat down, what just happened over there?
Something fell on my leg.
Have you been interested in a fault of your own in your workplace? Shall we call John Foy?
If I'm bleeding.
I'm a witness. Did it break the skin?
Maybe.
All right. A piece of the console has just attacked Carl. A vicious, unwarranted attack by a piece of our equipment in the studio. On air. You are listening live as a piece of the console has attacked Carl Dukes.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now my elbow has a protuberance.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Now, pull a Colin Cowherd. I'm going to need to take a minute.
Well, I'm not bleeding, so I'm okay. Big scratch, though. But Turtle, to your point, I thought he did a really good job. And look, they got ran out of the gym. It was the Cavs, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. But again, the guys are debating, going round and round with us on the text line about this. Luka is an elite talent. Trae is an elite talent. You know, but we just said it. Luka is. It was always the argument. Do we try to build like our own version of Golden State with our version of Steph Curry? You know, but I mean the idea that Trae. We've talked about it. Trae gets in the passing lanes. He's done more defensively, but he's never going to be an elite defender. Nor is Steph Curry. Nor is half the league. But the glaring weakness is that again, you heard. You know, who was that? That was, what's his face? LeBron's guy from ESPN.
Oh, Windhorst.
Brian Windhorst from last year in the finals. He's kind of outlining what some of the issues have been. But yeah, I get it. Guys who go for 28 and 10 don't grow on trees, but they also can become a cancer on a team to the point where the squad says, I can't give this guy the supermax deal, and I'll maybe take a short-term hit, but Anthony Davis, we have a future there. And look, if the Lakers can do it somehow, sometime, some way, we'll find out who's the winner in this one. But you don't... The elites, the truly elite players, don't find themselves in a position to let happen what happened to Luka Doncic. That's on him, right? So all you got to take all of that into account. So I just think that some guys still, Carl, want to just go and say, oh, well, nothing. Trae has never had the talent around him that Luka's had. Seriously, guys. Trae put that team on his back that year in 2021. And then subsequently, hard decisions like moving on from John Collins and getting better in the front court weren't made. And then we just kind of monkeyed around and everything that kind of helped build that thing just kind of fell to the wayside.
I'll ask you guys this. And for, this is for those of you who want to argue, because there is no argument. You just don't like Trae and you're looking for a reason to justify it. When is the last time a first-team All-NBA selection the last 5 years of his career has been traded?
I'll wait for it.
It's never happened. The only two other guys that have ever done it are Wilt and Michael. And you were willing to walk away from that? It tells you everything you need to know about what was going on inside that building. You walked away from a guy who's been first-team All-NBA 5 years in a row.
Mm.
And yet you said, I've had enough of this BS and the complaining and the bickering and the non-work ethic that we are willing to turn the page. That's it. That's not Trae. That's Luka. 404-726-0929. Chris, I know we got to get out of here. That soundbite is going to live for a long time. Mavs fans, though, are feeling it. I mean, they even gave it a burial to Luka. Did you see this? Like, they gave it all this different stuff.
So there were three guys that carried a literal casket to put on a memorial that's gone up outside of the Mavs arena.
That's a bit creepy.
And then they all laid down and kissed it.
Yep.
That's really weird. Up and walked away.
They're feeling some kind of way, man.
Yeah.
Well, welcome Anthony Davis. Unibrow's a nice guy. I told you, sat behind that day in that flight.
He's a good dude.
He's a good guy.
All right. I'm going to give a tease here because we ran out of time, but something we need to talk about in the 4 o'clock hour. An ace in baseball went off the board for 2 years and $35 million.
Wow.
Where were the Braves? We'll talk about it in the fourth.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, LeBron's 40. He is also the Western Conference Player of the Week. 28 points, 7 rebounds, and 10 assists at 40.
How about them apples?
It's crazy. All right, man. We're going to talk to our buddy Connor Riley. I'm going to bandage my leg. It's Dukes and Bell.